Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, hello, everybody. You ready to dig into God's Word? Even though you don't know what we're going to talk about, you think you know what we're going to talk about, but do you really know what we're going to talk about? You know, Rod said something last week when we were celebrating Purim that really, I don't know, it was like kind of like an arrow that hit my heart. We were talking about how the Jews celebrate Purim to remember God's deliverance and how God saved the Jewish people. And the challenge he gave was, how often do we have a party to thank Jesus for our salvation? Boy, that is so true, isn't it? How often do we have a party to thank Jesus for our salvation? Like that song said, Jesus paid it all. He really did. He paid it all. I would suspect that probably some of us barely made it in here today. We came haggard, came tired, came beat up, came discouraged. Felt like, man, I just want to go home and hide, close the door, and hope tomorrow's better. Anybody feel like that? Be honest. God knows. Tell the truth. And yet you came out. The reality of it is the world that we live in kind of beats us up, doesn't it? It really does kind of beat us up. And I think God's given us in His Word some strategies for being successful in life. And some of these strategies that He's given us are not necessarily the easiest things to swallow. Have you found that out with God and in serving God, that sometimes the things that are most beneficial for us aren't necessarily the easiest to swallow? So here's what we're going to do right before we pray. And you've probably heard me say this before, but you know when you get on an airplane and the pilot sees something off in the distance. You haven't seen it yet, but he gets on and he says something like, buckle up, right? And he says, buckle up because what? He's anticipating the turbulence that we're about to experience, right? And so he says, buckle up. And then they push through the altitude, they get to that cruising altitude, and then hopefully things sail from there on. And I think what we're going to talk about tonight is going to maybe bring some turbulence, but that's okay. Sometimes turbulence is okay because it makes us think about things that we need to think about. And when you talk about a subject like how the mighty have fallen, we started a series a few weeks ago, How the Mighty Have Fallen. What does that mean? You don't have to look far in the business world to know what it looks like when the mighty fall. Greed, overindulgence, we've seen that. We've seen it in the sports world, how the mighty have fallen, whether it be greed or selfishness, self-centeredness, whatever it is. We've seen it in the church world, unfortunately, have we not? And so unfortunately, we live in a world where the mighty fall. But God has given us in His Word strategies for not only seeing how to avoid that, but what to do if we're in the midst of a situation. In other words, if we're about to fall. God can illuminate some things in our lives and help us to see that before we crash. So I want you to pray with me tonight and just be honest with yourself. Will you just do that? You don't have to be honest with me. Just be honest with yourself and be honest with God. And if the Lord reveals something to you, that you'll do what He says. Raise your hand if you're with me. Okay, that's everybody. I don't know if it's everybody. It's close to everybody. Father, in Jesus' name, tonight we come to Your Word with humility of heart, knowing, God, the price that was paid to give us Your Word. And Father, I know that every one of us in this room are at different seasons and different places in life. We wrestle with challenging questions and difficulties and sometimes wonder if we'll ever have an answer, Lord. And Father, I pray tonight as we dig into Your Word that, Father, You would, in Your great love and care and concern for us, You would reveal the truth about the condition we may find ourselves in. Lord, unfortunately, we live in a world where mighty people fall. And Lord, thank You that You've given us from Your Word strategies for success. And I pray, Lord, that when we leave here tonight, whether we experience turbulence or not, we will leave here in victory, knowing, God, that You're for us and not against us. So, Lord, open our hearts to be receptive to Your Word tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, might have to keep going back to this water here for a little while. I'm going to start by asking you a question. It's not on your outline, but I want you to think about this for just a minute, because I think the answer to this question is what all of us are going to have to determine in our hearts as we dig into this tonight. What does it take to do what is right when we're all alone? Why don't you just close your eyes for a minute, okay? Close your eyes for a minute. Let me ask that question again. What does it take to do what is right when you're all alone? What does it take to do what is right when you're all alone? I'm going to answer that question. And the answer to that question is courage. Courage. Courage is the willingness to act out of conviction rather than feeling. Oftentimes, if the convictions are polluted or if there are no convictions, the mighty can fall. So what does it take to do what is right when you're all alone? That's usually where the greatest difficulties come. The greatest battles and the greatest difficulties in life come when we're all alone. Because the mighty fall privately before they fall publicly. The mighty fall privately before they fall publicly. When we read or hear about somebody that has fallen, they had already fallen. They did it privately. So what does it take to do what is right when we're all alone? It takes courage. It takes the willingness to act out of convictions that are in our heart, that God has sealed in our hearts, and then we walk those out. And the reason we have to walk those out is because we live in a world that beats us up. We live in a world where we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. This is not heaven. Sometimes earth is not fun, nor is it fair. Is that true? So let's get ready as we dig into God's word, because tonight we're going to talk about how the mighty have fallen. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is what we're going to talk about. And I'll tell you what that means here in just a minute. But I want to start with a New Testament scripture, and I'll tell you why as I read this. This is Paul's instruction to Timothy, a young man who's going to pastor a great church. And he's probably a late teenager, early 20-year-old, and he's given this great responsibility, we know from God. Paul hands it to him, but it's ultimately from God. And notice what Paul says to Timothy here in 1 Timothy 1:18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. That has not changed in 2,000 years. It has not changed in 2,000 years that we have to fight the good fight. If we are not fighting the good fight, we are losing. That is the bottom line. If we're not fighting the good fight, we are losing, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You cannot be inactive and live on planet Earth and call yourself a believer, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Paul is trying to encourage Timothy to fight the good fight. And then notice what he says here. He says there's two things that are really important: holding on to faith and a good conscience. Think about those words for a minute. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. And then he says this: some have rejected these, and so they have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I'm handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. This middle portion of this scripture has intrigued me for years. Fight the good fight of faith. How do you do that? By holding on to faith, your faith in God and your faith in the Word, and a good conscience. In other words, no pollution in your minds, being very clear and vigilant, knowing that we live in a world that is a very real world, but the battle that we're fighting is fought in an unseen world. Amen. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. And then he goes on to say this: some have rejected these and have so shipwrecked their faith. Underline the word shipwrecked, because here's what I think about when I hear the word shipwrecked. I think about this. If the ship wrecks, it didn't reach its destination. Isn't that right? They've shipwrecked their faith. In other words, they didn't reach the destination. When the mighty fall, when the people of God fall, the mighty fall, and we shipwreck and we don't reach our destination, we need to be quick to get back up and go at it again. And go at it again. Shipwrecking your faith means you don't reach the final destination. That's the enemy's objective in our lives, is that we not reach the final destination. So I want to talk to you tonight about Samson. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Samson appeared to have it all together. Matter of fact, Samson could control everyone and everything but himself. You know, if you read the story of Samson and about the life of Samson, he could subdue armies with his gifts. He could intimidate people. He could control circumstances and situations. He could control everyone and everything, but he couldn't control himself. And the story of Samson is a tragic story because here's this mighty man. Samson is what? He's yesterday's version of today's superstar. Today you see a superstar walking through the airport, you say, there goes so-and-so. Back in Samson's day, that's how it was. There goes Samson. He's that guy. He's that man. So here's this man that's got this tremendous amount of pressure on him. But in four chapters in the Bible, in the book of Judges, in four chapters, his life completely unravels. He's got a call of God on his life. His mother is spoken to before she's pregnant by the Lord and says, you are going to give birth to a son and he is going to make a difference in the world. And yet the end of his life is great tragedy. Why is that? How the mighty have fallen. And I'm going to point out a few things to us tonight, and hopefully we will have the courage. What does it take to do what is right when we're all alone? Courage. The willingness to act out of conviction rather than feeling. If God shows you along the way tonight that there's an area in your life that you need to be careful, because the people that fall are the people that never think they'll fall. Isn't that true? The people that fall are the ones that never think they'll fall. And so we need to humble ourselves and go to God and go to his word with transparent hearts and say, God, if there's something here, show it to me. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter of Judges chapter 13, but let me just give you a little bit of a history lesson before we get up to Judges chapter 13 on our outline. Joshua had gone in to conquer the land after Moses. And Joshua failed to do something that God had told him to do, and so did all of the other tribes of Israel, thus the raising up of the judges. Here's what God said to Joshua and the tribes of Israel, the children of Israel, to do as they went in to possess their inheritance. He said, drive out the inhabitants of the land. He said, utterly drive them out of the land, because if you don't drive them out of the land, they'll become thorns in your flesh and barbs in your eyes. And all of Judges chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 talks about the specific tribes, the people of God, who failed to do that. And as a result of that, they constantly had the enemies after them. And so part of what we have to recognize in how the mighty fall when it comes to believers, is there are inhabitants. In other words, there are things in our lives that you must drive out of your life. There are things in our lives that if we become too familiar with, and we get too comfortable with, and we don't do the right thing with them, they will come back. We're not talking about physical things necessarily, like the armies that were against Israel, but we're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about things, and you know the things that I'm talking about. If you have things in your life that have plagued you for whatever reason, and you've not completely driven them out of your life, don't they have a funny way of creeping back in, yes or no?
Yes, they do.
They have a funny way of creeping back in. So all of a sudden, God raises up this man called Samson. And here's the prophetic word to the mother and father of Samson. Judges chapter 13, verses 2 through 5. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or fermented drink, so that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God. Notice this, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. Now, if you jump down to verse 24 of that chapter, it says this. The woman gave birth to a son named Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. Oftentimes, when I read things in Scripture, I make this statement to myself, and it just helps me process through God's word. So what? I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. If I'm reading about the life of Samson, the first thing I'm going to say to myself is, so what? So what, Samson lives, so what, so what, so what? But I'm going to follow that up with saying, now what? We're reading many thousands of years old story, so what? So what, we read about the strongest man that ever lived. So what, we read about a man that killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of an animal, so what? The other side of that coin needs to be for us today. Now what? Now, what do we do with that? What do we do with a story like this? The Bible says in Hebrews, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the now what part is, as we read a story like this, and as we begin to unpack it, God can say now what to us. So here's Samson, he's born. Okay, he's born and he comes on the scene. We don't really know what happens in his growing up years. We don't know what he did as an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. The first time we really read about Samson is when his eye catches the fancy of a Philistine woman. So he's probably at least a teenager. Hormones have probably kicked in and now all of a sudden he's attracted to somebody of the opposite sex. Let me give you point number one and then we'll continue to read on, because I think it's very evident in Samson's life and also in the life of how the mighty have fallen. Number one, Samson became careless. He grew up in this home where he was told from the time he was a little boy, God had a plan for his life. God had a plan for your life. You were set apart from birth. I didn't drink wine when you were in my womb. And you were set apart from birth because God has a special plan. God has a special plan for you. God has a special plan for me. He has set us apart for such a time as this. We live on planet Earth right now for a reason, a very specific reason. But carelessness is a subtle yet camouflaged trap that the mighty who fall step into. They become careless. How do mighty people fall? They become careless with what they pay attention to or what they don't pay attention to. People become careless. And Samson, in Samson's life, he becomes careless. When you read his life from the time he becomes an adult, he has an unhealthy attraction to the enemy's camp. He has an unhealthy attraction to the women that are the Philistines, the people that God told the children of Israel to drive out. And you see him becoming careless in his life. Notice what the Bible says in Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. One day when Samson was in Timnah, he noticed a certain Philistine woman. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "I want to marry a young Philistine woman I saw in Timnah." His father and mother objected strenuously, "Isn't there one woman in our tribe among all the Israelites that you could marry? Why must you go to the pagan Philistines for a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Get her for me." Wow, think about that. Get her for me. Something is in Samson that says, "I want it and I want it now." I wonder if oftentimes the mighty fall because of that attitude. I want it and I want it now. I don't want to wait. I want it and I want it now. I want the success, I want the fame, I want the fortune, I want whatever it is. And then if we're not careful, we become careless. And carelessness is such a subtle thing that we don't even realize sometimes that it's happening in our lives. Before we know it, we're just carelessly living. And that's what Samson was doing. He was carelessly living. "Isn't there one woman in our tribe?" Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She is the one that I want." His father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to disrupt the Philistines who ruled over Israel at that time. We'll get into that a little bit more in just a minute. But Samson became careless. Here's my first question for you. In what areas of your life are you careless? If something pops into your mind immediately, write it down there. Is there an area in your life where you're careless? I can tell you honestly, I remember a time in my life when I began to become careless about some things. And I wasn't paying attention. And it became a very dangerous place for me. And I paid a high price. There were consequences of my carelessness. I'm thankful for the redemption of God. And I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. And we serve a God who is faithful. But if you're careless, the Lord is showing you you're careless. If you've been careless, the Lord is speaking it to you. God loves us too much to abandon us, and he loves us too much to not point out to us where we've been careless. Have you been careless anywhere? I mean, Samson, he's got this attraction. Give me that Philistine wife. I want that woman for my wife. And as the story goes on and it begins to unfold, it seems like he spends more time in the camp of the enemy. In other words, he spends more time in and away from the people he should be with. And as a result of that, it greatly influences him. And it all starts with carelessness. How the mighty fall starts with carelessness. And it's usually carelessness in small things. It's usually not the big things. It's usually not the big things that everybody sees. It's usually the attitudes. It's usually the thoughts. It's usually the words. It's the critical spirit. Whatever it is, it's usually very, very little, and it's usually very, very subtle. Number two is this. First, Samson became careless, and then number two, carelessness will eventually give way to complacency. Carelessness eventually will give way to complacency. Listen to this definition of complacency. A feeling of contentment or self-satisfaction, especially when coupled with an unawareness of danger, trouble, or controversy. That's complacency. A feeling of contentment or self-satisfaction, especially when coupled with an unawareness, danger, trouble, or controversy. I wonder if Samson felt like in his life, when do I get to shine? When do I get to shine? When do I get to do all of these things mom and dad have been telling me about? And I wonder if he became careless, and then as a result of that carelessness, he became complacent. He became complacent, and he became so complacent that he didn't even realize what he was doing. He was in and out of the enemy's camp. He was doing things that he shouldn't be doing. You know, I thought about this. The goal of Christianity, I want you to think about this for a minute, just 1 minute. The goal of Christianity, I believe this, if I could give it a one-word statement, I would say that the goal of Christianity is transformation. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, therefore, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you're able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I think Samson became careless, and because of his carelessness, he found himself being entertained in the enemy's camp. You know, one of the classrooms of transformation, if the goal of Christianity is transformation, one of the classrooms of transformation that God uses in our lives is the classroom of monotony. It's the classroom of monotony. You know, David tended the sheep, and he tended the sheep, and he took care of the sheep, and he took care of the sheep, and his brothers made fun of him taking care of the sheep. But when his time came, because he took time in the classroom of transformation, monotony. Same thing every single day. I got to follow these stinking sheep. I got to take care of these sheep that are very, 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 very dependent. Monotonous, monotonous, monotonous. I think sometimes we move from carelessness to complacency because of the monotony of life. Do you ever get tired of the monotony of life? Do you ever think, do I got to get up and do that same thing again today that I've been doing for the last 20 years? Do I got to do that again today? How many of you feel like that sometimes? Carelessness comes on the heels of monotony. We've got to be careful. And I wonder if for Samson, the monotony of life just got to him. And as a result of that, he just started to become more and more careless, which led to complacency. He just didn't even care anymore. He didn't care anymore. And we know he didn't care anymore because of the time that he was spending with the Philistines and all of the foolish things that he was doing. And we need to search our hearts. Are we becoming careless to the point where we're not passionate about living anymore? We're not passionate about making a difference anymore? God had raised up Samson to make a difference. God has raised us up to make a difference. But sometimes with complacency, we just get so tired of the monotony. It's a classroom of transformation. Monotony is a classroom of transformation that God uses in the life of a believer. And you're not going to be dismissed until you graduate. And sometimes the monotony of life is the very thing that we need. It's the very thing that God needs to do in our lives to push us through to the next place in life. Are you being complacent? Think about your life. Think about the patterns of your life. Is there complacency? Can you identify complacency or can you identify carelessness? Number three is this. Point number three is this. We need to correct the blind spots in our life. We need to correct blind spots in our life. Samson's father, can't you find somebody else, Samson? Can't you find somebody else to marry? Samson marries this Philistine woman. He goes and he turns into his practical joker self. He starts telling some jokes and he's away a little too long. He's away for a week or two. And his father-in-law decides to take his wife and give his wife to another man. And Samson comes back enraged and he kills 30 people. And he becomes so enraged that the father says, well, let me give you another wife. Let me give you another wife. And Samson's whole life, because of carelessness and complacency, was lived in the camp of the enemy. It was lived in the camp of the enemy because he became careless, because he didn't correct his blind spots. What was Samson's blind spot? His blind spot was that he had an unhealthy attraction to ungodly women. That's what it was. He had an unhealthy attraction to ungodly women. And as a result of that, if you read about the life of Samson, it caused him to fall. How the mighty have fallen, they don't correct their blind spots. They become careless. Then they become complacent. And all along, if they would have just recognized their blind spots. The word entice means this, to find an opening. To find an opening. You know, Superman had kryptonite. That was his thing. What's yours? What's your blind spot? You know, when you're driving and you see the sign and it says blind spot ahead, it's telling you that because you can't see what's around the corner. And people go around that corner, they take the corner too fast, and what's going to happen? They're going to have a wreck. And if we don't correct the blind spots in our lives, we're going to have a wreck. And that's how the mighty fall. The blind spots are there. But if we don't pay attention to the blind spots, there's going to be a wreck. And sometimes the wreck affects more than just us. Sometimes it affects other people. The Bible says in Judges chapter 16, one day Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza and he spent the night with a prostitute. In chapter 15, the end of chapter 15, the Bible says Samson led Israel as a judge for 20 years. What happened to Samson halfway through that time? Did he just get tired of doing the right thing? Did he just get weary in doing the right thing? One day Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza and he spent the night with a prostitute. Word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together and waited all night at the city gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, "When light of morning comes, we will kill him." Samson had a blind spot. He knew about it. His father had said, people had pointed it out. Isn't it amazing how, as we read the story of Samson, we recognize his blind spot? Don't we? We recognize the blind spot of Samson. How many of you, honestly, know the blind spots of people close to you? Raise your hand if you know. You know the blind spots of people close to you. People knew what Samson's blind spots were. Did they point them out? I don't know. Are people pointing out our blind spots to us? I hope they are. I hope they are. I hope people love us enough and care enough about us to point out the blind spots in our life. Because the mighty fall through this process of carelessness and complacency and not correcting blind spots in life, people fall privately before they fall publicly. And it's because we don't pay attention to blind spots in our life. Here's the thing about gifts. Samson had this unusual gift that God had given him. Probably never in humanity has that gift been given to anyone else like that. Gifts are given, but character is developed. Yes. Gifts are given, but character is developed. And here's the problem with Samson. He overemphasized his gift, and he became so dependent upon his gift that he thought his gift would rescue him in every situation. And he focused on his gift, and he had this gift and this ability. He had this gift and this ability, and that gift and that ability became his downfall. Because gifts are given, but character is developed. And if you don't correct blind spots, if I don't correct blind spots in my life, then my character is not going to develop, and I'm not going to grow. And then when the pressures come in life, and they're going to come, when those pressures come, it's possible that I'll make the wrong decision. Many, many years ago, I was in a church service. We were having an incredible worship experience. The only way I could describe it is you felt like the presence of God was heavy. We've been in worship services like that where you feel like the presence of God is heavy and it's a weighty thing. And the person that was leading worship was a tremendously gifted individual. And we were having a tremendous time of worship and presence of God was there. You know what I'm talking about. As soon as that worship service was over, I'll never forget this as long as I live. As soon as that worship service was over, I was on the front row with the pastor. As soon as that worship service was over, the worship leader in the microphone looked right at the pastor and he said, "Top that one, Pastor." Had this incredible worship experience with this incredibly gifted individual. Presence of God had filled that room. As soon as that was over, "Top that one, Pastor." You'd have felt like the air went out of that room. The air went out. "Top that one, Pastor." Tremendously gifted individual that had elevated and focused on the gifts and focused on the gifts. Tremendously gifted character went underdeveloped and there was a fall. Devastation. Why? Gifts are given, but character is developed. If you are a gifted individual and you focus on your gifts and you don't pay attention to your character, that's how the mighty fall. And that's exactly what happened to Samson. He had this tremendous gift and he put all of his emphasis in that gift. And he didn't pay attention to his blind spots. You know, often those around us are going to know what they are. Ask somebody. Ask somebody. Ask somebody that loves you. Ask somebody that you love. What? Tell me what my blind spot is. I want to know what my blind spot is. Tell me what it is. Please tell me. Boy, you're giving yourself a gift when you do that. And we need to do that because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The devil wants to destroy your life, and he'll do it systematically. He doesn't have to do it today, and he doesn't have to do it tomorrow. He'll wait till next year, or he'll wait for 10 years. But if we allow the process of carelessness and complacency because we're not correcting blind spots, the natural progression of that is a fall. It is a fall. And that's why it's in the scriptures. It's not in the scriptures to make us feel bad. It's in there because this is the real world that we're living in. You read the paper today, you look at the internet today, we read about it all the time. In business, in politics, in sports, in the church, let's help each other. Listen, we all struggle, do we not? We all have blind spots. Let's help one another. What are the areas of weakness and what are you doing to protect yourself? What are your areas of weakness and what are you doing to protect yourself? Get an answer to that question. We need to get an answer to that question because we know this, that in the last days there's going to be a great outpouring of God's Spirit. Why? Because there's going to be a great influence of darkness. And we know the attacks and the assaults of the enemy will continue to increase. But God is raising people up to be influencers in the last day. And that's me. And that's you. Say, "That's me."
That's me.
Say, "That's me," like you mean it.
That's me.
That's us. And we got to believe it and we got to live like we believe it. We can't be passive. Samson was passive because he was depending on his gift. And when you read the story, he thought he could fool around and fool around. And eventually the fooling around caught up with him. Now I did tell you, did I not tell you, before we started to buckle up? Did I not say that?
That's right.
Did I not say that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to make sure because some of you are looking at me kind of funny. Okay, number four. Number four. Beware of boredom. Beware of boredom, which leads to reckless behavior. That classroom of monotony. Sometimes in life, we just get bored. We just get bored with life. We get bored with life, and the next thing we know, boom, there we are. Boom, there we are. I get an awesome opportunity every school, every quarter at YWAM to spend time not only teaching in the school, but then halfway through the quarter, we split the men and we split the women up. And I get to spend a whole day with the men. And we have a lady that comes in and spends a whole day with the ladies, and I get to talk to the men and challenge the men about the things that men face today, purity issues and the things that men struggle with and the things that men battle with today. And probably 80 to 90% of the young people that come through that love Jesus and that are passionate about Jesus will say this. They fell into that because of boredom. They were just bored. And then boom, there it is. They were just bored. And then what happens? Boredom leads to reckless behavior. That's exactly what happened to Samson. He became bored. So what? The Bible says he goes down into the Philistine camp and he finds a prostitute. Why would he do that? Obviously, he's bored. Obviously, he's got too much time on his hands. So boredom can lead to reckless behavior. So we have to be careful with that. How the mighty fall, they fall because of boredom. And then boredom will transition into reckless behavior. Is there any reckless behavior in your life? Is there anything that God is saying, don't do that? Don't do that. That's dangerous for you. It's not only dangerous for you, but it's dangerous for your children. It's dangerous for your relationship with your mate. Don't mess around there. Somewhere in Samson's mind, he had convinced himself that his flirtation with dangerous things was okay. Don't you think that the people that fall, that we read about, all of these things that we read about, don't you think somewhere in their minds they rationalize that it'll be okay? Somehow they've rationalized, well, it'll be okay. That's why they do it. And oftentimes it's boredom. Don't be misled. Here's Galatians chapter 6. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So don't get tired. Listen to this. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. I know that there's tired people in here. I know that you're tired. You go to work every day and you face the pressures and you face the injustices and the things every single day at work, and you can get bored and you can get weary and you can get tired, and then you become careless and then you can become complacent, and this is a slow progression, and then all of a sudden you find yourself down here. And so we got to be careful. We got to pay attention to what's going on in life. In Samson's life, let me just conclude this. In Samson's life, there was a season where his gifts were flowing in his life. Don't be misled by this. Samson was using his gifts as he was entering into sin. Samson was using his gifts to get him out of trouble because of this sin that he had chosen to walk into. And sometimes I think people are misled because somehow they feel like, well, God's still using me. Things are still happening in my life, and because things are still happening in my life, I must be okay. That is a dangerous place to live. And that's what Samson was doing when he started hanging around Delilah. Samson, what's the secret to your strength? And Samson teases her two or three times. And he's playing around, and he's flirting with the enemy, and he's making fun. Why? Because in his mind, he's thinking, I've got this gift. I've got this gift that's gotten me out of a jam every single time. I've killed 1,000 people. I've killed 30 people. Every time I've needed, my gift has gotten me out of a jam. And it led him down a path of being deceived. So what activity or behavior is the enemy using to distract or destroy you? Is there an activity? Is there an activity or a behavior that the enemy is trying to use in your life to distract or destroy you? If there is, write it down. And if there is, just give it back to God. Say, Lord, I don't want this in my life. I don't want to be consumed with this thing anymore. I don't want to struggle with this thing anymore. Most of the time when people struggle, it's with something they've struggled with for a long time. It's not something that they've struggled with since yesterday. It's usually something that they've struggled with for a long time. So what activity or behavior is the enemy using? Finally, number five is this. Samson became deceived by foolishness and pride. Samson became deceived by foolishness and pride. Later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah who lived in the valley of Sorek. What would Samson say today if he were here? If Samson were here today with us, and we'll meet, he's in Hebrews 11, called a man of faith. He did great things. He led Israel for 20 years. But why would God put a story in the Bible like this? So what? We read about Samson, now what? Why? What would Samson say to us if he were standing right here? He'd probably say, it's very important to know your strengths, but pay attention to your weaknesses. Know your strengths, but pay attention to your weaknesses. You know, oftentimes in the world that we live in, this is just the truth. The world that we live in, gifts will get you to the top, but it's character that's going to keep you there. Gifts will get you to the top, and people rise to the top quickly. Athletes, why do we see it happen in athletics? You've got these tremendously gifted athletes that are 18, 19, 20, 22, 23 years old, and they're given these multi-million dollar contracts. Their gifts get them to the top very quickly. Highest paid athlete in their sport, but it's character that is going to keep you there. If you don't balance out the character and the character development, and you don't focus on character development, what is that? See, most of the time, the gifts are what people see. The character is what God sees. Gifts are what people see. Character is what God sees. It's the little things that matter. Don't look that way. You've looked that way once. Don't look that way again. Don't say that. That attitude is not right. And if we're not careful with that, I know this is a heavy message. I know it's a heavy message. But how the mighty have fallen. The mighty fall because they don't pay attention to the whispers of God. That's where you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention to the whispers of God. It isn't the loud, thundering, booming voice. It's the whispers of God. Blake, don't go that way. What are you? Don't fool around. Don't do that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
amen. Samson became deceived by foolishness and pride. Pride comes before a fall, the Bible says. So what would Samson say if he were here? Don't do what I did. Pay attention. Pay attention. The Holy Spirit will show you. The Holy Spirit will whisper to you. I asked this question in the beginning. What does it take to do what is right when you're all alone? What's the answer? I forgot. What does it take to do what is right when you're all alone? Courage. Courage is the willingness to act out of conviction rather than feeling. Proverbs 12:15 says, fools think they need no advice, but the wise listen to others. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I want to ask you to do this as we close. The end of Samson's life, thank you. The end of Samson's life was really very tragic. He fooled around and he fooled around and he fooled around. They cut his hair, he lost his strength, they gouged out his eyes. He's put into a prison, and he asks God for one more opportunity. And he comes out and he defeats the enemies of Israel and he defeats the enemies of God with his last breath and his last strength. The courage that it takes to be the man or the woman of God that he's called us to be is the willingness to act out of a conviction that's born through the promptings of the Spirit of God. The willingness to act out of convictions. Convictions what? Based on the Word of God. And I want to say this to you as we close tonight and give you an opportunity. If God has whispered or tugged at your heart, will you just respond to Him? I don't want to read about people falling. I don't want us to fall. I don't want to fall. I don't want you to fall. We live in a hard world. We live in an unfair world. We live in a world that is very demanding. And there's a real devil out there that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's not finished, and he's not going to be finished. And so he's after you. He's after you. Don't make no mistake about it. He is after you. Whether you believe it or not, he is after you. So we come back down to make that landing today, and the turbulence is over. It takes courage to act out of conviction. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm just going to ask you if the Lord has tugged on your heart to just respond to the Lord. And we'll close with a song. And as we close with a song, you just come and you just talk to the Lord. I don't need to talk to anybody else, but come and talk to the Lord. God, help me to avoid. I'm mighty and I don't want to fall. You're mighty. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken my mortal body. So we are mighty in God, so you are mighty. So let's not fall. So I'm going to pray for us, and then if you want to do some business with God, will you just come up here and do some business with God as we close with a song? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the balance of the power of the Scriptures. Lord, you teach us about love and grace and faith and obedience and discipline and commitment and the wonderful things, God, that are going to help us to make it through life and through life struggles, God. And because you love us so unconditionally, as a good father does, Lord, you tell us the things that will challenge us as well. And Father, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, none of us want to become a statistic. Lord, none of us want to follow the fate of Samson the Great. So Father, I pray tonight that we will have the courage to do what you've called us to do. Whatever it is, however small or however large, if we have to go to someone and repent, Lord, if we have to do some business with you, whatever it is, God, we don't want to be careless. We don't want to become complacent. We don't want to overlook the blind spots in our life, God. We certainly don't want to be foolish or prideful. So, God, thank you for speaking to us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.